Food & Wine magazine called Michter's the best American whiskey. And Michter's is the first American whiskey to be selected as Whiskey of the Year by Whiskey Exchange. Michter's, it's all about the whiskey. Welcome to In the Drink, the show where we talk to some of the most interesting people in the beverage industry. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli, owner and wine director of Fausto in Park Slope, Brooklyn. We actually tape the podcast in the wine cellar of my restaurant. I also make wine in Italy under the label Annona. This week, we're going to be talking to Stella Di Campalto. She joins us in the wine cellar for a conversation about her biodynamic wines that are some of the most elegant, natural, and pure in Montalcino. Welcome, Stella. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You know, we are such huge fans of your wines here at Fausto, and it's really an honor to have you on In the Drink. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit of the history of how you started your estate.
My estate started by casuality. It was a present and in 92 and was completely abandoned from the 47. And I was a city woman. And I say, what I'm going to do with this forbidden land in the middle of nowhere? I was living in Milano. I grown up in Rome and I was not drinking alcohol at all. So it was something, really a big, huge question marks, this place. And then I fall in love for this place, for this no land. And I grown up with the plants that I planted in 96. Actually, 97 I planted.
You planted your first vineyards in 1997.
Yes.
And then what vintage did you make your first wine?
2001. And I've got my neighbors and teacher, Piero Palmucci from Poggio di Sotto. They told me, no, you have too much grapes. So I cut it down all the production when they are still green. And then there was a huge cold winter. And so my production in 4 hectares is around 8 acres. It's only 1,400 bottles in 2001.
Wow. And would you say that Piero Palmucci was your mentor? And
yes.
He was the owner of Poggio di Sotto at the time.
Yes.
And your neighbor also.
Yes. I was really, really lucky to have him.
Tell us about how you met Piero and what the relationship was like.
It was just close by. So we start to have lunch together as a good neighbors. And then I was curious to understand how he works and to understand the wine, which was something far away from my life, from me. I remember one day I was having breakfast with him, a croissant with him, and I was crying. I say, oh, if the weather was wrong, how can I manage this situation? And he say, if you work day by day, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, he was so simple and deep in the same time. And his message was to work day by day in the vineyards. And this was my big, big message from all the time.
And did he show you how to work day by day in the vineyards? And what does it mean for you to work day by day in the vineyards?
To do the right things in the right moment. Without being covered by idea or what you want, but by the things you have to do it with a project.
And so is it true you never went to enology school or?
Yes, you? I do because I was completely, I think my biggest luck is my ignorance. So I was really open to many solutions. So I've been to Bordeaux, I'm a sommelier. But then what touched me, it was the Nicolas Joly that do a brainstorming in Rome, and he was speaking in French. And my French, I think, is worse than my English. I don't understand anything. But when I go out, I say, I will do biodynamics, no matter what. So I start to read Rudolf Steiner. I don't understand anything again. But something slowly, slowly became under my skin, and I go in this direction.
Because there's so many different ways you could have gone. What do you think was the early evidence that this was the correct way for you?
Yeah, I think thanks to my daughters, because I was living in Milano. She was always, always sick. I was giving her medicine. I go to the hospital and so on. And then I met one of the best homeopathic doctor in Milano. And it was a completely different problem. And she resolved after 2 months of small sugar pillow. So I say, what are you saying me? Lie? The official things? So immediately I was really open to a new solution for vineyards and for my life as well. And you know, 200 years ago, this was the only way they worked the soil. They watch the loon, the moon, they work in the soil. And then I think slowly we have these big things that the idea cover the real things. And biodynamics just bring you back to real things, I think.
When did you meet Nicola Jolie and when did you decide that this is what you should do?
I met him in 2001 and 2002 I start to do these strange things, which are very practical.
Do you have a good community of biodynamic producers in Montalcino or is it very rare?
There is, but I can say it, the community is really no matter of the country, no matter of the place, it's just a matter of thinking, which is different. And even who do food or garden can be the same mind link.
And your first vintages were organic as well. So you knew at least from the beginning that making wine without chemicals was important.
Right, right. It was organic, but really the big change was the biodynamics. Yeah.
What changes did you notice in the vineyards and in the wines after you switched over?
So it's not easy to, because the plants was very young when I do organic and then I turned to be biodynamics in 2002. So, but what I noticed that even if the wine could be, is delicate and I used to have new wood, it was completely independent from the outside. So he was strong in his delicate way to be. And this for me is biodynamics, allowed you to be what you are.
I find your wines to be very elegant, very beautiful and clean and precise and pure. I hope you agree with that assessment, but if you do, is that an intentional style or is that more a symptom of the biodynamics?
Who knows? I don't know, because you can drink biodynamic wine that is more energetic and powerful, which I love too. So I don't know if it's my thoughts that touch the place or I don't know. I hope one of my daughter will keep my work and maybe the wine will be different. I don't know.
I hope they will. I hope.
Neither, because...
is that, do they show any interest at all at this point?
No, they say only they will sell everything to Nestlé.
No.
So still, no, they are joking, but still they want to do their own life, which is correct. As I don't want to impose myself in the vineyards, I cannot impose this work to them. You know, every work we do, it's something we should believe.
It seems to me that the style of wine that you make, wine on the more elegant side, is not what Montalcino is necessarily known for, but it's what I think more modern wine drinkers want to drink these days. I'm just curious as to the changes in Montalcino, both in farming and in the style of the wine. If you've seen that people are changing more to become more organic and also to make less alcoholic or less oaky wines react to, I think, how a lot of people are drinking these days.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's a fashion direction that go in this direction, but it's very important to maintain our independency, not do it because the other people like, but inside. It should be inside work, respect outside, and not an outside work, not believe inside. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it makes sense.
I think I understand. You're saying that you should find your own identity,
right,
and do a good job and believe in your own identity, and then other people should appreciate that as opposed to reacting to how other people want to see something and making something in a reaction to them.
Yes. I think even a carrot, an apple, a salad could be this way. we need to meet real people, person, vegetable, meat, everything. We need it. Otherwise, we get boring.
It's true. You're in a warm part of Montalcino in the south and make these beautiful, elegant wines. One of the reasons I don't drink a lot of Montalcino these days is because I found the alcohol levels to be getting very high. Is that something you struggle with? Do you find that alcohol levels are getting higher? How does ripeness affect what you're doing?
So I'm like you. I don't like high alcohol. But I think what I'm learning, what is teaching me, the wine and the vines, that is not so important the singular situation, alcohol or color, but is the party situation. So in 17, we have high alcohol, but also high acidity, good pH, so you don't feel the alcohol. It's like the feeling. If you have the attention on only one element, it means that something doesn't work out. We need to have a harmonious thing, harmonious influence by what we eat and drink and meet. We try. Even if you see a woman or a man, if you start to analyze each single part, it means you are not in the situation. You are focusing on one part.
And you grow predominantly Sangiovese, Sangiovese Grosso. And then I know you make a small amount of a wine that's a mix of different grapes.
Yeah.
I'd love to learn more about the Sangiovese Grosso. Is there more than one clone or it's only
Sangiovese? Yeah, of course. More than one clone.
And what clone do you have of Sangiovese?
I have really old clones. It's F9 and R24. They are Chianti clones. One of, you know, consider not interested. But the beautiful things about Sangiovese, that is like an Italian man, is very sensible to the soil where he grow. It's very sensible how you treat him. So I have only two clones, but 12 different type of soil, and each spot react in a different way. So the clone is important, but not so important.
Was that an intentional decision to put certain clones in certain spots? Was that because of some research or did it just happen that way? How do you know?
Yeah, I've got only two clones, so I don't tell you. It's a boring story, bureaucracy Italian, but I need to have the grapes in 1 month. So what I found was these two clones. And then I let them observe, and I noticed that the soil makes huge, huge difference with biodynamics. So it's very interesting because the men that do the preparation of soil makes the division by the herbs that grow from the soil. So he do a natural zonation with just observing the nature. More this, but the clone are only two. So,
what have you learned about Sangiovese Grosso that you didn't know when you first started?
So I have an idea maybe of a wine and he completely disappoint me. As I do 100% the years, each year is completely different. And he teach me the English words surrender by the year. And this was the biggest lesson. But still I don't learn the lesson. I want always the best. But sometime you have to wait. Time is another thing that help the wine. That's why I was very afraid about 17, which was the worst harvest ever. And now the wine are really drinkable, which is something that surprised me a lot. But I need 2 years to understand that.
And with all of your wines, I know you age them a little bit longer.
Right.
Can you tell us about your idea of aging wine before release?
Oh, this is a simple idea of a customer. When I open a bottle in the restaurant, I need the bottle to be ready. But in the same time, to go through the time. That's why I keep it. Because when I bottle, the wine open and close himself continuously for 2-3 years. That's why I keep it for 2 years and 8 months in the cellar before going out.
Wow, that's great. And then you also make a wine called Col Tempo Bella.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that wine?
Yeah, I have got foreigner grapes. And
How did they get there? Did you plant the foreigner grapes or is that a vineyard?
I do plant it. And thanks to University of Milano. And these crazy grapes help to absorb the Sangiovese I'm not going to use in Rosso and Brunello. And it's like a free room. So no years, no single variety. And it's a chaotic wine.
It's a delicious wine as well. And unlike Sangiovese, you make this one all in concrete. Is that correct?
In cement. Yes. Yeah, right? And just press. So I don't give air. To the other, I give air every... To Sangiovese, I give air every 6 hours for 1 month, 1 month, 20 days. This I just press for 1 month. And then makes only barrique, which is absolutely the opposite of Sangiovese. Is a foreigner. Mm-hmm. I treat as a foreigner. It's different.
And for the Sangiovese, you use botte grande or big barrels.
It's 17 hectoliters. It's okay. Not huge. It's not small, but 17 hectoliters. Yeah. It's my size because I'm very, very small.
And it works for you. It works for the estate.
Yeah, right. It's my, yeah. I always look for, you know, my shoes, not other shoes. I can drink a really beautiful wine around, but everybody have to look for their own way to be.
I think you're doing a fantastic
vineyards,
job.
Because we don't have any winemaker. It's really the place. Uh-huh. It's the place and the listening. This is a key word, to listen with what we have every year.
Now your vines are about 20 years old.
Yes.
And have you noticed any differences in the wines or in the vines themselves as they've aged?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, it's like the roots are more going deep down, so they are more independent from this crazy weather. Because in the last 10 years, I noticed a huge difference than before. Before we have 4 seasons, now we have 3, 2, and we go from a season to other in 2 days. So The reaction of the plants have to be really, really mediating the situation. Mm-hmm. And I think biodynamics could be an answer to many, many things.
And now there's also many more producers in Montalcino than when you started, right?
Yeah.
I know there's some talk of expanding the Montalcino appellation. Do you think that's going to happen? Is there any news on that, or they're keeping it?
For now, they're keeping this. Okay. Yeah. They're expanding by name, but they are keeping the place. So I hope they will. And something about beautiful about Montalcino, that they respect completely the forest. So I think behind the price of the farm, so they don't sell themselves and they keep the tree, which is beautiful. Because we are inside an ecosystem, we cannot avoid from this. We have really to change our mind from economics to harmony.
And so what are some of the challenges or issues or excitements even that you speak about with other Montalcino producers? What are the topics that are on your mind in the area?
Depending on the period. But we, you know, of course, weather, which is very, we are all under the weather. But we try to enjoy day by day ourselves. We don't have any big topics, I have to tell you the truth.
Have you noticed a change in the weather? Has there been a warming effect that's happened just in the 20 years or so that you've been there?
Yeah.
Are vintages different in
huge. And I think we really hurry up to change our mind altogether. I mean, it's so easy, so we can manage.
Have you been picking earlier in order to deal with that?
Last period, I always give 501. That makes the grapes ready a little bit before, in my case. So I just pick them up when they are ready. So yes or no, it's like 1 week earlier than many years ago, but consider that I plant in 97, so I don't have an historical. I just talk with the old people from Montalcino.
Do you have any plans for expansion, for getting new vineyards?
No. I grown up in Rome, so I'm really, really lazy. I need walk inside place. It's all around the cellar. I don't even have vineyards there and there. It's all around the cellar. So it's a walking human size for me. There is people that do huge vineyards and they do wonderful. It's just not my shoes. I need my size. And I want to keep and maintain this size. Of course, I will have less number some year of bottle, more number in others. So I'm under this, but I prefer to keep in mind the all, not the size, not the quantity, but all, me and the place.
Is there any new project that you're working on?
Of course, inside, it's always different between me and the people that help me. But no big project. No. I'm sorry, I'm very boring. I'm not a very entrepreneur, but related to the soil, to the place.
I think that's great. And I think that is one of the many reasons that you make such beautiful wines, your dedication to.
But I took a new tractor, which is the really big news about my place.
Do you use the tractor for the biodynamic spraying or?
So 500 we give by hand, mm-hmm. but 501 we always use the tractor because we need to cover a foggy way in 1 hour. So I always use the
it's
tractor.
It's important to do it quickly.
Yeah. Also, remember, I'm lazy. Two things that...
I doubt that.
But 500 always by hand, which is beautiful, beautiful. I invite you to give it. Even if you are tired, you're shining yes. after. It's beautiful.
The 500, you spray onto the leaves?
I spray on the soil.
On the soil.
Okay. I do an infinity movement and I spray to the soil. But you know, I have a really high, how you say?
Steep.
So sometimes it's like, wow. And you have 30 liters on your back.
Oh.
Could be very heavy, but you enjoy it. It's like walking. It's beautiful. Everybody laugh. I don't know why 500 make this. It's like... Even if you are sad, then you laugh.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful because we are all, many people, because we are 8 people doing that and we enjoy.
Well, I very much enjoy your wines and we're so proud to serve them here at Fausto.
Grazie, grazie.
Stella, it's been such a pleasure to
interview. To me and good luck. This place is amazing. Bravo, bravo.
Thank you so much.
Grazie.
That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to In the Drink. Again, I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. You can follow me on Instagram at Joe Campanelli for updates on the show, photos of what I'm drinking, and the occasional pitbull pick. You can also email me at info@inthedrinkpod.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. In the Drink is produced by Jesmyn Molly. A huge thank you to Alyssa Satter for her help with the promo for the show. And a special thanks to Renny Lopez for our theme music. And last but not least, thanks to you, for listening. Join us next week for another episode of In the Drink.